Welcome into the End the Money podcast for Saturday, June 28th at Churchill Downs. It's their closing weekend and finishing with a big stakes day on Saturday. Tom Leach along with Jim Goodman, Keeneland's Director of Wagering Development. They've got an all stakes pick four, Jim, that we're going to take a look at that starts in the ninth race, a late pick four. And it includes the grade one, Stephen Foster. So this is a really nice card that they have put together up at Churchill. And we will start in the grade three, Kelly's Landing, 6.5 on the main track for three-year-olds and up. And where did you land?
Well, I thought Kelly's Landing race was pretty simple to handicap. What I don't know is how good Roll-On Big Joe is. Obviously, Booth has got extremely good early speed, has not been worse than first at any call in the last four races with a 107 buyer in the Whitmore at Oakland. And has won a race at Churchill. Big Joe is 1-for-1 at Churchill, and it came on May 16th, and the horse almost went wire-to-wire. It was second by a head and wound up winning by 1.5. Rispoli was riding this horse out west, and Le Perru takes them out now. I'm not crazy about Le Perru on a speed horse. I was thinking Booth as a single for the best speed, but then I'm thinking if Roll-On Big Joe does challenge him, I think Dr. Vinkman is the best closer in the race with the most back class. And I think from the one hole, Frasu comes in to ride, and I think he gets a really good trip behind the speed. So I'm going to use Dr. Vinkman and Booth and think that Booth is going to outrun Roll-On Big Joe, and he's going to give it up, and then Dr. Vinkman has a shot to come and get him at the end. So pick Exactabox 1 and 3, Booth and Dr. Vinkman. The other horses, I think, are a notch below, and I really think that using these two horses gets me through the first leg of the pick four. I could be wrong about Roll-On Big Joe. He might be better than I think, but I think Booth is a little bit better, and Dr. Vinkman might be just a little bit better than either one of them.
Yeah, I see it the same way you do. If I had the budget, when we get to ticket building time, I would Roll-On Big Joe would have been the other one to include, but I think we're going to be okay getting through this. And I took Dr. Vinkman on top as well. I just see Nisos and Full Serrano and his recent opponents. And I think that looks stronger than what Booth has been facing, but Booth's a little better on the buyer scale and is in peak form. So kind of a toss up. I took Dr. Vinkman, slight edge there. 10th race is the grade two Wise Dan on the turf at 1/16, 4-year-olds and up. And I'm thinking Mark Glatt and Antonio Frazier are going to win something. So I'm picking them here too. Mi Hermano Ramon. And I thought this was a race that there were several that I could make a case for in here. And three of them finished together last time. Mercanti, Brilliant Bertie, and Laganos. And then Fort Washington looks like he is in peak form. And then Mi Hermano Ramon coming in from the West Coast. And Glatt's that barn's pretty sharp when they ship. So I ended up taking that one, and my reasoning was the three horses that finished together, I'm going to say there was no separation there, so it's hard to kind of real confident on any one of those. Fort Washington, I'm thinking maybe that was just a little lighter competition that he's been beating. And so if I can get somewhere, and I think they've got him at 9-2 in the morning line, and I think that seems reasonable given the strength of these other horses that have competed locally, that I think we might get that price on Mi Hermano Ramon. So that's why I ended up taking that one on top. But, at, you know, all five of those, any of those five, I think could win it. And I'm going to leave Laganos out when we get to the pick four just for budgetary reasons. I had to call the ticket somewhere, so I chose to do it there. But I think any one of those five could win this. How about you?
I used the same five horses, and I was between – I do like – Mi Hermano Ramon, the numbers add up for Glatt. The only thing, that horse has only raced one time out of California when he ran at Keeneland in April of 23. That concerns me a little bit. Not going to get the same footing at Churchill he's going to get at Santa Anita, but he's got class and comes into the race in very good form. So I like him, but I actually took Fort Washington on top. Races Temico up a short layout, took him up well for this one. He beat a couple horses I really liked in that race, and it was on I think that was Preakness Day. And Suge McGahee, second off a layoff, is like 19%. I just think the horse is in good form. I think any of the five horses would not surprise me. I'm going to use those other three. I've got enough money because I went narrow in a couple other races. There's no way you can separate Mercante and Brilliant Birdie. And then Logano's, if it gets a better trip with Pratt, is right there as well. So I think those three all have a shot. And then the other two horses that don't come out of the race are Fort Washington and Mi Hermano Ramon. And I think to cover the race safely, I need to use all five.
Race 11 is the grade one, Stephen Foster. Four-year-olds and up, mile and an eighth. This is a really well-matched group. This is a tough handicapping challenge. Where did you land?
Well, there's a lot of talk on horse racing Twitter or horse racing X these days about how the morning line is really off here. They think that Mindframe is going to be the favorite, and they don't think Hit Show fits at all. I don't disagree that Mindframe might be the favorite, but I think First Mission coming out of that race at Oaklawn with a 109 buyer looks awfully strong in here. Sierra Leone has to get the right trip. He ran well in the Derby, could have won it with a better trip, so I got to use him. I got to use Hit Show because he won the Dubai World Cup. He's won $8.4 million, and Giroux surprised everybody that day. I don't think it would be a shock if he came back here and ran well at Churchill, where he's won twice already. And you've got to use Mystic Dan, the Derby winner from last year, even though he's come back, doesn't seem to be nearly as strong as last year, but he's done everything that they ask him to, and I think that McPeak had this one in mind in this pattern that he's got, where he started him off at a listed stakes, which was a paid workout, and then he came back with the blame at a mile and eighth and ran well. So, and Mystic Dan takes a step forward in his third race off a layoff. I think any of those five would not be a surprise in this race. If you made me pick one, I would probably pick Mindframe, just because I think he's been so consistent. And Irad comes in to ride. He got a nice prep race in the Churchill Downs on Derby Day and 2-for-2 at Churchill. So Mindframe would be my pick, but I don't think he's a single by any stretch. I'm going to use all five of them.
I have a real strong feeling for First Mission because of that big buyer. I think this is a horse that, you know, really flashed some big time potential when he won the Lexington. They were thinking about taking him to the Preakness, and then there was an issue. I can't remember what it was that came up, something physical, and he had to pull out of the Preakness. But I just think they've had thought that this horse has this kind of ability for a long time, and maybe that last race is an indication that he's finally tapping into it here at this five-year-old campaign. Six works all at Churchill since that win at Oaklawn, and that culminated with a 59-2 work a week ago. So I'm just going to bet that Brad Cox has him ready to fire his best shot. Sierra Leone, fired his best shot in the Breeders' Cup Classic, and so something close to that puts him right there. And I am actually going to only use those two. Mindframe would be the next one. I wonder if maybe he's one race away from peaking. That was a tremendous field that he beat in the grade one on Derby Day, but that was at 7 furlongs, and maybe we'll see. I know I probably should include him. I'll probably regret not including him, but because I wanted to take them all in the last leg for my pick four ticket, I had to try and pare it down somewhere, so I chose to do it here by just using First Mission and Sierra Leone. We'll see how it plays out. American Derby, race 12, culminates this late pick four for three-year-olds, mile and a 16th on the turf. Hard for me to go past Reagan's Wit for the win. I know I interviewed Cherie DeVoe that week leading up to the opening of Keeneland, and we were getting all that rain, and she, I think, was not going to run Reagan's Wit that had they raced that weekend. Now, it got a little better, obviously, and she did end up running in the Transylvania, and he ran pretty well. Test score was great. Test score came back to, you know, certainly validate that form with his performance on Derby weekend, and I think Reagan's Wit, you know, came back to win next out, but I'm thinking that maybe he's even better getting the firm turf now, and I'm going to put him on top, but I can see just about anybody in this race winning. Look at a horse like Minaret Station, who won the Bourbon last year at a big price, but Will Walden has done a great job with his stock this year, and that horse could certainly be ready off of layoffs 15-1 on the morning line. So I'm going to take them all in this leg and hope that I've hit something to justify doing that in one of the other three, and we'll see how it plays out. But that's going to be my strategy in the American Derby. But anyway, first mission for me in the Stephen Foster. How'd you see the American Derby?
Well, I'm the reverse. I think it's Reagan's Wit's race to lose. I thought the race at Pimlico on that good turf was outstanding. He was supposed to win. He did. He beat Silio Vallant easily that day, and I can't see that horse turning the tables on him. The only other horse that I really liked in here was Native Runner, Kenny McPeak's horse, and I liked that prep race. They tried him in the Lexington, didn't run well, so he put him back on the turf where he had run once before, and he really ran well at Churchill on June 7th, 28-1. And I think they found a home for this horse, and I don't expect the horse to take a step backward. I would expect him to take maybe a step forward on his second trip on the turf. So he lost to Reagan's Wit by a bunch the first time he tried the turf at Fairgrounds, but obviously he's a different horse now, and that was, you know, he's got a lot of experience. He's raced eight times. He's a three-year-old, so I think Native Runner has a shot in here at a price, and I'm going to use him and Reagan's Wit and box those two in the exacta, and I'm only going to use those two, 1 and 6.
Yeah, it's funny how we can look at races and you know, structured tickets with different strategies, because I like that horse too, and then I'm thinking, well, if I like him, I got like Anadagata from Maker, because I liked him last time, and he just barely got beat. And then I mentioned Minaret Station, you know, Flying Mohawk, I think, you know, won by 5 and change on the Churchill turf course. And I started going down through the field and kind of talking myself into every one of them. So probably be Reagan's Wit winning by 3, and I'll kick myself for not narrowing the ticket. Anyway, I'm going 1-3 with 3-4-7-8 with 1-4 with all for $80. How about you?
So I'm doing 1-3 with 2-3-4-7-8 with 1-2-4-5-6 with 1-6, and that's $50.
Well, that is a better budget than I was able to get to. So hopefully one or both of us will hit this thing for closing weekend. And I know we tape these on Thursday afternoons. Churchill, I think on Thursday night, didn't they have a big carryover in the pick six?
Well, the pick six almost got hit on Wednesday. There were two horses alive to the 1.2 million, and they ran second and fourth. They got very close. So they've got I think it's a $1.4 million carryover. If it goes all the way through the weekend, they're going to give it out on Sunday. So that's
just their keep an eye on that. Yeah,
that would be that'll be huge. I mean, it could have 2 million carryover by then, which means they might do seven or eight million more. So it will be huge on Sunday. So that keep an eye on that. They almost lost their shot last night, though. There were a couple of horses that had a shot at taking home $1.2 million.
Fun weekend of racing. There's a big day up at Woodbine, several stakes races up there. Some good opportunities around the country, and then Saratoga's not that far away. A couple of weeks. I think next week we'll probably be focusing on the Belmont at Aqueduct. I think they have a big weekend for the holidays. So
Belmont at Saratoga.
Is it next week?
They run the last three or four days of Belmont's.
That's right.
The Belmont meet at Saratoga rather than Aqueduct, so they're actually moving up there after this weekend.
Well, that will be fun then. So that's probably where we'll be talking about next week. For now, we'll just wish you good luck on trying to hit something big at Churchill this weekend or somewhere else, and make sure you keep funds in that Keeneland Select account to play with. And we will see you next week for another edition of the In the Money podcast from KeenelandSelect.com.